Good afternoon. Welcome to today's conference call on UBM's Q1 figures 2018. Normally, we welcome you all together from our headquarters in Vienna, but today the team is spread across Europe. Thomas, our CEO, and me are in Paris on roadshow, meeting potential investors. Patrick, our CFO in Germany, one of our core markets, and our back office team, Christina and Valerie, are supporting us as always, perfectly from Vienna. Nevertheless, we managed to be all in the same line, and we're happy to present you our Q1 figures. Thomas will start the presentation, followed by Patrick, before we go into a Q&A session. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Anna, for the introduction. Good afternoon from Paris, also from my side. Let me give you a quick overview of the seven topics we want to highlight on this call and refer you to slide three of the presentation, which you have hopefully opened on your computers. The question most often asked during the last roadshow has been, how long do you think the boom is going to continue? Other than stating the obvious, which is that nobody knows, I would like to give you some real estate market feedback. Patrick is going to shed some light on the strong operational performance in Q1 and puts the record low net debt into perspective. This is followed by an update on our PPP, Pure Play program in Q1, and some details on the expected breakdown of reductions in the following quarters. Let us also have a look at our largest projects this year and remind you that we know the sales prices of more than 75%, which gives a high visibility on cost in the light of their near-term completion dates. We can confirm our outlook. This includes firming up our promise of a record year 2018. Finally, also, I would like to remind you of our pipeline in the next 3.5 years. Turning to slide four, there are three encouraging macro information and interesting data for UBM specific markets, which I would like to share with you. No matter what market research you turn to, almost all predict unabated demand for real estate this year and next year, i.e., 2019. I shall come to the importance of the interest rate environment in a minute. What is sometimes overlooked is that country data is often understated for UBM purposes because major cities outpace the national rates, and UBM exclusively focuses on 19 major cities in our core markets. Thirdly, and some of you might remember that we have presented early data on overseas investments for continental Europe in Q3 last year. Now, macro data is supporting these early indications that we have given you. South Korean investors buying our Zalando headquarters have not been a single event. We see widespread evidence that most recently up to 50% of European real estate investment comes from overseas investors, particularly from Asia. Some domestic investors have misinterpreted this as a clear sign of an overheated market and threatened even to pull out of the market. They are back in Germany and Austria singing the same song as the overseas investors, which is, give me a good reason why comparable prime office rents, and you see this on the chart, in Berlin are at 30 euros per square meter and month, while Paris, with all the resistance against Macron's reforms, is well above 60 euros, and London's West End, with Brexit imminent, stands at almost 120 euros per square meter. While some of you might be convinced that London or Paris rent levels eventually will come down, there's higher likelihood for Berlin, Munich, or Vienna to catch up. The other big concern is rising interest rates, and for a reason, as you all know. Have a look at slide five, which might look familiar to some of you, as I have presented it a couple of times in the past. While it has been updated recently, the big picture hasn't changed. Prime office yields offer an attractive alternative to 10-year government bonds, despite the ongoing yield compression, which is a result of constantly high demand meeting a continuously decreasing supply. With permission periods between 3 to 7 years at the moment, it is fair to say real estate is not scalable. And the length of the boom keeps new entrants rather away than encouraging them. As we are not talking basis points, but rather percentage points, it is fair to say that the narrowing of these two yield curves will not take months, but rather years. Now, I already hear you say, are they a bit naive at UBM? Definitely not. This is why we have put our efficiency program in place, stick to forward sales despite having left money on the table in the past, and continue with our asset-light joint venture strategy despite shrinking new business opportunities. May I now ask Patrick to take over from Munich.
Thank you, Thomas. Also, a warm welcome from my side from Munich. May I draw your attention now to slide number 6, which is the net profit slide. As Thomas already mentioned, we showed a strong operational performance in Q1, both in terms of earnings and total output. Earnings before tax reached 8.2 million euros in the first 3 months, 26% higher than in the previous year. In terms of earnings per share, likely the most relevant key figure for the financial market, we generated 91 cents per share, representing an increase of almost 40%. When looking at the chart, at first sight, it may seem that the full year target of euro 50 million is still far away. But we are more than confident to reach this target. First of all, traditionally, the first quarter is a weaker transaction period. Also, in our record year 2015, EBT in the Q1 was at a lower level than this year. Second of all, there is a high visibility of the earnings development in the upcoming quarters. 75% of our projects in 2018 are already forward sold. This means prices are fixed and also the costs can be predicted with the utmost probability due to the near-term completion dates. Looking at the total output development in Q1, this figure almost doubled to 220 million. We were successful in reducing our standing portfolio. For example, we sold the Pegas office in Wroclaw for over euro 50 million. In the development field, we completed a large hotel project in Warsaw with a volume of about 40 million euros. Also in the residential area and in hotel operations, we can report an increased output in the first quarter. Besides this strong operational performance, also an accounting issue positively affected our revenue development. The first-time application of the new IFRS 15 rule had a positive revenue effect of euro 31 million in the first quarter. Sales of forward-sold real estate have to be realized in line with percentage of completion and not at the time when the property is handed over. I wouldn't call this 31 million an extraordinary effect. It is more a timing issue. Revenue that would have been realized later in the time is now realized at an early stage in line with the accruing costs. Also considering this revenue effect, total output in Q1 2018 was considerably higher than in the previous year. Turning now to slide number 7, the net debt slide. On slide number 7, you can see that net debt significantly decreased in the course of the first quarter. This reduction has two main reasons. From an operational perspective, sales proceeds were significantly higher than investments. Please don't extrapolate this number for the full year. Investments were at a quite low level in Q1, and quarters with higher investment volumes are ahead of us. Secondly, we issued a 100 million hybrid bond in the first quarter. As mentioned in our last full year conference call, 50% of this capital was used for the early repayment of the mezzanine capital provided by POR. The lower rate of interest for this new bond will lead to an annual reduction in interest expenditure of around 0.5 million or 2 million over four years. The 0.5 is 1 year. As the repayment took place in April at the beginning of the second quarter, it is not included in the first quarter numbers. Taking this repayment and also the upcoming dividend payment into account, a normalized and more realistic net debt level is more likely in the range of 400 million euros. This normalized net debt level of 400 million euros corresponds to a normalized equity ratio of about 35 to 36%. Both figures clearly demonstrate that we took our financial strategy with a focus on having a well-balanced balance sheet quite serious. This balance sheet structure safeguards our entrepreneurial independence and is one of the main cornerstones of our credibility on the capital market. We are totally aware of this fact. Also, we have made significant progress in optimizing our financial position so far. This is and will stay one of our top priorities. I give now back to Thomas.
Yeah, and I continue with slide number 8 and the progress we are making with PPP. The first quarter saw the sale of Pegas, as I've mentioned and Patrick has already mentioned it, and the Park-In Hotel in Linz. Both sales together resulted in a reduction of our standing assets portfolio of about 65 million euros on a pro rata basis. Pro rata means only counting the 50% holding in Park-In Linz. Q2 so far has seen the sale of our Park-In Hotel in Krakow for 30 million, representing our 50% equity consolidated stake. We are diligently working towards closing Leuchtenberg Linz transaction. As the hotel was a standing asset, there is going to be an impact on the PPP either in Q2 or Q3, the latest. This is why we are giving you, even for the Krakow Park-In and the Leuchtenberg Ring, the Q2 and Q3 as the range. This means there is only a 55 million gap left for Q4 and the first half of 2019 to reach the PPP target. And this, I would say, looks like a manageable task. Talking about project completions and visibility, please turn to slide number 9. I have already mentioned the Leuchtenberg Ring's impact on the standing assets portfolio. However, Leuchtenberg Ring's impact on the overall 2018 financials is even bigger, looking at the project as a whole, including the newly built office space for Scout 24, and others as well as the retail space. It has a price tag of 190 million euros. This is only beaten by Zalando, and it's 196 million euros, where closing, not completion, closing is expected in Q4. Please distinguish between completion of the project and closing, which is including a number of formal documents and steps, and they always take slightly longer than the physical completion and handover. While the two mentioned currently largest projects might have been on your radar screen anyway, the residential projects might not. There are three projects in Austria which will see completion in Q2 or Q3. Rosenhügel and QBC 6-1 in Vienna in Q2, as well as Riedenburg in Salzburg in Q3. Altogether, more than 75% of this year's completions have been forward sold, improving the visibility for this year significantly. It can't be mentioned enough often. This makes it an easy task for me to confirm our outlook on slide 6. As per end of May, there is good reason to be confident that we beat 750 million euro of total output, outperform 50 million of earnings before tax, and thereby generate more than 5 euro per share of net profit, as well as a total equity in excess of 400 million euro. However, it is still early stage to be more specific. I need to ask you for a bit of patience until after summer. I promise to give you more specific figures upon presentation of our interim results at the end of August. Please remember that last year, it was September, that we gave you a first indication of how the full year numbers might develop. So let me rather conclude the formal part of our Q1 results by presenting you our longer term perspective on slide 11. We have a number of projects in the pipeline. All of the presented, maybe with the exception of QBC 1 and 2, have been acquired in the last 18 months. Still, we were already able to sell half of the 1.6 billion pipeline, i.e. 800 million, until end of 2020 on a forward basis. This gives you hopefully some comfort that it is still possible for reputable established players like us on the market to acquire reasonable projects and sell them at a reasonable margin. The majority of the market participants is far from irrational. There are good reasons for real estate investors to believe that a re-rating of rent levels, particularly in the big seven cities in Germany, is more likely than not. For a developer, the most dangerous trap is to believe in endless yield compression. UBM development does not belong to this group. Without any doubt, there is unbroken demand for our projects and we are in the right markets. We shall keep you posted on the sustainability of our earnings through such market phases and beyond. And now I would like to open the call for questions. So there's silence, but I bet that questions are already coming in.
We are now starting with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, press star followed by one on your telephone. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift your handset before making your selections. So anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And the first question is from the line of Stefan Scharf with SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Stefan here from SRC Frankfurt. My question is, in the first quarter you recorded about 2 million or 2.3 million impairment loss recognized to an investment in Poland. Could you give us a little bit more color here?
Stefan, that is my turn, so it's Patrick speaking. That was a disposal of the current financial assets in Poland. It was in the hospitals group, an hospital, and that had to be cleaned up. And the reason why you see this effect is because we unfortunately had to sell it below the book value.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. And please use the opportunity to ask your questions. Before pressing star one, please activate the DTMF tone on your telephone. Next question is from the line of Benjamin Jartmann with Kepler Chauffreux. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have few questions. Just first of all, if you could perhaps comment a little bit on your market environment, if you could maybe elaborate on the where did your input cost go. And that's my first question.
Yeah, Benjamin, let me take this. Look, the market environment didn't get any better since we've last called, quite honestly. And this is true from both sides. On the one hand, construction costs stay high. We find it extremely difficult to obtain general contracting. We tear apart the construction contracts now into various bits and pieces, facades, carcass, excavation, and thereby achieve the prices that we were hoping to achieve, but also accepting the risk that we lose the general contractor liability. On the other hand, we find it increasingly difficult to get our hands around new projects at reasonable cost. And here I would like to give us some credit for the cautiousness that we are applying, which doesn't mean that if we go for a project, it's then only a bargain price that we have paid. We are prepared to pay full prices on the basis of no further yield compression, as I've mentioned, but we are not prepared to join the speculation on yield compression to continue. While I have said this, and that might sound somewhat pessimistic, I would still draw your attention to what I tried to put across in the conference call. The last 18 months have seen all the projects that we are presenting you with all the profitability that comes with it. We are still generating above average margins and feel that this can be continued because of the position that we have in the market and because of the fact that we are a preferred partner to some of the companies that like to have a risk sharing for very big projects, and we are now eligible because of our creditworthiness for that. So overall, market conditions are tough, but this is why we are here. It also shakes out some of our, I would say, lower credit competitors quite nicely.
Okay, thank you. And my other question is relates to the impact of the IFRS 15. You had 31 million positive impact on Q1. And what could we expect on the, perhaps it's a little bit early, but what could we expect for the following quarters?
Okay, Benjamin, I obviously take that question. You are correct. In the revenue line, you find an impact of 31 million. Over the year, that impact, that is what we assume currently, is 60 million roughly. It depends a little bit on how we quick are in terms of building the former IAS 2 or still the still on the IAS 2, but we have to show them on the IFRS 15 when we sell them. So how quickly they are built and how quickly they are sold. So predominantly we have their residentials in that number, and we are trying to come to a good number, and currently it's a 60 million number we assume for the full year. How that is spread over the quarters, and that is too detailed to be said because it depends on selling the stuff and when we sell it.
Maybe let me add something to it. IFRS 50, okay, as much as we hate it all, because it again messes up our internal and your external models, is helping us to get a more realistic picture, because it is percentage of completion for those projects that we have forward sold for both the revenue line and the profitability line. And I think over time it makes us much more predictable, and that is, I think, even more important, smoothens the effects that we were struggling with in the past to explain.
Okay, thank you very much.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. We are waiting for further questions. It seems we have no further questions at this time.
Well, Mia, thank you for guiding us through the call. If there is not a last second question coming in, I would like to thank you for your attention. I'm extremely surprised that it went without any technical problems. I hope you liked the profit per share number that we are providing you with, and wish you all the best for the rest of the day. We are seeing another investor and then leave back home to Vienna. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.